Hello. I'm the Reverend Parker's daughter, Nancy. Most families see their minister only once a week. But at my house, it's always Sunday.
Yes, it's 30 minutes of proof that the good life is not a dull life. The happy new comedy series, It's Always Sunday. Reverend Parker lives in that cozy little house across the street there with his wife, Mary, and their teenage daughter, Nancy. And in spite of Nancy's contention that it's always Sunday, I know for a fact that today's Saturday. It's breakfast time, and Nancy and her mother have already started eating. It seems that the Reverend's a little late coming down this morning.
Maybe it's just as well Daddy is late this morning.
Just as well, Nancy? Why, what do you mean?
The diet you've decided he's going to go on. I don't think he's going to like it, Mom.
Like it or not, a minister can't stand up in front of his congregation while they sit there wondering how much weight he's put on since last Sunday.
You sure take a lot of pride in Daddy.
I have to. Sometimes I think he completely forgets that he is a minister. Why, last night I caught him watching the wrestling matches on television.
But, Mom, there's nothing wrong in that.
Well, it just doesn't seem dignified. Of course, he said he was only watching out of professional curiosity. The two wrestlers in the main event were the saint and the angel.
I think I hear him coming.
Well, well, well. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Charles.
Daddy.
What's the matter? Haven't you ever seen a man wearing a sweatshirt and comfortable trousers before?
A sweatshirt? Well, that looks like something you'd use to dust the car.
Yes, I have used it for that a few times. But you wanted me to do some work in the garden, and this seems like an appropriate outfit. Oh, excuse me, Nancy, honey. May I slip in there?
Oh, sure, Daddy.
Well, now let's see what we have for breakfast. I'd better do a lot of work, so I'll need a lot of food.
Good luck.
Aha. Uh-huh. Toast, coffee, and half an egg.
You're starting on a diet.
What? No, Mary, just a
now,
minute.
Now, Charles, you know you've been gaining weight.
Gaining weight? Mary, I weighed myself just yesterday.
Charles, before you say you haven't gained, remember who you are.
Now, look, Mary, scales don't lie, and that scale...
Yes, Reverend?
It said I'd gained 3 pounds.
Now, eat your egg.
It's only half an egg. Can I eat the shell? Egg shells aren't fattening.
Oh, Charles.
Well, I can't dig up the garden on an empty stomach.
I wanted you to work in the garden for exercise, but if I'd known you were going to put on that dreadful outfit, I... Oh, those baggy old patch trousers.
Baggy and old? Well, they may be a little baggy, but how can you call them old? You certainly didn't talk that way about them 15 years ago.
Oh, but seriously, dear, you aren't going outside like that.
No, I was just teasing you. I'm going to bring the garden in the house.
Oh, come on, don't worry too much. Personally, I admire Daddy because he's so down to earth.
Oh, Nancy, you wouldn't mind if he came home someday with his head shaved.
Sweetheart, she said down to earth, not down to skin.
Oh, Mom, so what if Daddy does go outside dressed like a hobo? Nobody hates Bing Crosby for it.
There you are. Pass the cornflakes and bananas, please, Nancy.
No cornflakes and bananas.
Oh, I was only kidding. I didn't really want any. Hurry up, Nancy. Pass them to me. Okay, you'll see. Tomorrow when I deliver my sermon, my emaciated body will slowly start to rise above the congregation. And as I drift away, people will say, "Poor Mr. Parker. I understand his wife starved him."
What is it this week, Daddy?
Hmm? Oh, my sermon?
Mm-hmm. Trust your fellow man.
Oh, you read it, dear?
Mm-hmm. To be frank with you, dear, I don't think you can trust your fellow man to the extent that you've advocated.
Mary, I'm surprised. Doesn't it seem reasonable? The more you trust a person, the more he can be trusted. Well, I think it's a good sermon.
Oh, dear, I'm sorry. I don't think I've done anything but pick on you this morning.
Oh, don't be silly, Mary. You haven't picked on me any more this morning than you did yesterday morning. I didn't mean that the way it sounded.
All right, dear.
Oh, golly, look at the time. I got to get dressed. Bill's stopping by this morning. Excuse me.
All right, dear.
Certainly, sure. Dear. Speaking of Bill Brackett, Jr., I'd sure like to see Bill Brackett, Sr.
Oh, finances?
Mm-hmm. The welfare fund. It's getting a little low.
You know, Charles, our daughter going with the son of the wealthiest man in your church, sometimes I feel self-conscious about it.
I don't. It was an act of providence.
He gives so generously. I wonder why you always make such a fuss.
Well, dear, it's a matter of credit. When a man paints a portrait, he labels it with his name. When a man writes a book, his name appears on the cover. But when a man makes a donation to his church, the only way anybody gets to hear about it is when he raises his voice to complain. Oh, good morning, Bill.
Hey, wait a second. Is that you? Gee, those clothes.
Yes, Bill, and don't think these clothes don't bring back fond memories. College, initiation. Oh, did I ever tell you I wrestled in college, Bill?
Yes, sir, you've told me.
Oh.
At least once a week.
Yeah, let me get the gate for you.
Thanks. Oh, working on your garden?
Mm-hmm. You want to help, Bill?
Well, Reverend, I'd like to help you, but you see, well, it's like you said in one of your sermons. If you once set your sights on a target, let nothing distract you. And Nancy's my target for today.
How do you do it? How do you manage to remember only the parts of my sermons that enable you to get around me?
I make notes. Well, Mr. Parker,
Wait, Bill. You can do me just a little favor. Oh, here it is. I brought it out with me. It's my sermon for tomorrow. Mrs. Parker voiced a slight, shall we say, lack of confidence in it. So if you'd read it and give me an opinion, I'd sure appreciate it.
Oh, gosh, Reverend, I'd rather not. I'll hear it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Just as you heard my sermon last Sunday?
I was in church last Sunday.
Oh, I know you were. And during the singing of the second hymn, you fell asleep.
Maybe, but I was wide awake when it was time to shake hands goodbye with you going out.
Good for you, Bill. Well, you better get inside and see Nancy.
Yeah, I'll see you, Rev. Don't work too hard there.
Uh-oh, Edward. Hold it.
What's the matter, Jack?
Get loaded that mailbox in front of this house.
Look, you know how slow I read, Jack.
It says Reverend Charles E. Parker.
Oh, hey, yeah, that's a preacher, or it's the easiest touch in the world. It's the hobo's best friend. Well, even when I was in jail for stealing autos, you know, I used to do real good with the prison chaplain.
Indeed. In my entire career as a bum, I ain't never had such good picking as them Holy Joes.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh. Step over here a little, Edward.
Huh?
Look in the yard. There's already a hobo working there.
Yeah. Gee, that poor guy's clothes is worse than us. Nothing but rags.
Indeed. And you know, this complexes matters.
It does.
Two of us might make out okay, but three. I'll tell you what. We'll toss a coin. Yeah. The winner gets a crack at a preacher's house. The loser slugs it out with the elements.
You got a coin?
No, you got one?
Well, no, but I always carry this for just such occasions.
Very well. That will do nicely. The cork side is tails, and the part that says Coca-Cola is heads. Be my guest. You flip.
All right, I will. Here, I take heads. Good? Here she goes.
Coca-Cola, you win.
Yeah, look at me.
Well? I will see you around, Edward. Good luck. You better talk to the bow in the yard and first get the lay of the land.
Yeah, all right. I'll see you around, Jack. Yeah. Hiya, Bo.
Oh, hello, friend.
Friend? As one hobo to another, you can call me Bo.
As one hobo to another?
Oh, I see. Maybe you're one of them fancy ones, likes to be called a knight of the open road.
Well, I'll tell you, Bo. It just so happens that I'm...
Chum, all that I want to know is... How is the sky pilot who lives here?
The sky pilot? Oh, you mean Reverend Parker?
Yeah, that's the guy. What's he like? How is the grub situation?
Grub?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, the food. Well, to tell you the truth, since just this morning, I've had a terrible time getting enough to eat around here.
Well, gee, that don't sound like no preacher. You know, they always give such swell handouts. Those guys, they're pushovers. Of course... Us bulls, we have to suffer the occupational hazard of them trying to get you to go to church, you know. Tell me, you ever go to church?
Oh, lots of times. In fact, I sort of work there.
Gee, what do you know? Ain't bad enough he makes you work in his yard, he makes you work in his church, too. Huh? Too sure I want to meet this guy.
Well, I'm afraid it's too late not to, what's your name?
Eddie, I'm Eddie.
I'm happy to know you, Eddie. I'm the Reverend Parker.
Yeah, sure you're the... Come again?
You jumped to a rash conclusion, Eddie. And I was just mean enough to lead you on. I'm Reverend Parker.
Hey, look, what are you trying to give me? I know a bum when I see one.
Clothes. Believe me, I'm the preacher.
Yeah? Well, I guess I wrote this deal.
Oh, no, wait, Eddie. No offense.
No? You ain't so, Reverend?
Not at all, Eddie. Now, you want a handout. You want to work?
I want a handout.
You want to work?
I want a handout.
Well... Eddie, you know what the good book says. Man shall live by...
By the sweat of his brow, yeah, yeah. You preachers must all read the same book.
Eddie, I just got an idea. I'll give you an easy job. No, here it is, right here in my pocket. This is my sermon for tomorrow, and I'd like you to read it and give me your opinion of it. Here you are.
Hey, look, Reverend, you know... I read awful slow. But it says, trust your fellow man. Hey, that's a nice idea.
Well, read it and see how you like the whole thing. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a little favor to ask of someone.
Huh?
Just a second. Yo-hoo, Bill! Say, Bill, I need some things from the hardware, and Mrs. Parker's taking the car downtown. Could I borrow yours for a few minutes?
Oh, sure. Go ahead. The keys are in it.
Thanks, Bill.
Drive carefully.
Well, Eddie, I'm going to be...
Hey, Reverend, look, I heard you, and you know that is my favorite pastime, driving cars. You know, I ain't drove one for a long time. Oh, brother, I would sure like to try it again.
Oh, well... Eddie, really, it's no trouble for me to drive.
Oh, look, Reverend, really, I would like to. Besides, you know, man shall live by the sweat of his brow. Well, it's hot today. My brow's short of sweat driving that car.
Nice of you to offer to work, Eddie, but it's not my car.
Oh, Reverend, you don't trust me. And you say right in here, you say, trust your fellow man. Well, I'm your fellow man, Reverend.
Well, I don't know what to say, Eddie. You've certainly got a point, but it's not my car.
Oh, I see. I get it. That's all right. In other words, you don't really trust your fellow man. You just say that you do.
Here's $5. Get a sack of weed killer and some clover grass seed.
Oh, gee, thanks, Reverend. Hey, it's going to be so swell to be driving a car again and one that ain't hot.
Hmm? Well, I think you'll find it hot, Eddie. Bill just parked it there.
He just, yeah. Well, you see, that's a different kind of hot, Rev. You see, actually, there's two kinds of hot.
Two kinds?
Yeah, yeah. There's the hot, which means that there's the hot you... Hmm. You know, Reverend, on second thought, I think that you will enjoy trusting your fellow man much more while I am gone with this car if we do not go into the two different kinds of hot.
Now, Bill, calm down.
Yeah, but, Rev, it's been an hour.
Don't worry, Bill.
Yes, I'm sure everything's going to be all right.
Well, I wish I was as sure as you. I just can't understand it. One minute I have a car, and the next minute I'm a pedestrian. Boy, my father's sure blowing his top. When I called
him... Bill, you called your father?
Yes, ma'am. I was supposed to meet him for lunch. And when I explained everything to him, well, he started to raise... Excuse me for saying it in front of you, Reverend. The devil.
Yes. Well, it's too bad he's not coming over. There's something I'd like to talk to him about.
That's the same thing he said about you. He's on his way over now.
Well, wonderful. I'll see you all later. I'm going to my study.
I'll go with you, dear.
Gee, I hope that guy brings my car.
Oh, Charles, I'm worried.
Really, Mary, there's nothing to worry about. Bill's car will more than likely be back before his dad gets here.
Well, I certainly hope you're right. It'd be a terrible price to pay. I mean, if because of this, Mr. Brackett didn't contribute to the welfare fund.
Well, Brack has a strange temperament, but I'm not worried.
If that hobo doesn't bring Bill's car back, I hardly think you'll be able to deliver that sermon tomorrow.
Truer words were never spoken. The hobo took the sermon with him.
Now for the second act of the new comedy series, It's Always Sunday. Say, unless I miss my guess, there's a storm headed toward the home of Reverend Parker. A storm in the person of Bill Brackett Sr. Hey, look at the frown on his face.
Well, hello, Brack.
Where's my son's car?
Now, take it easy, Brack. I'm positive that man will bring Bill's car back. I'm not worried.
Oh, you're not worried. It's easy not to be worried when it's somebody else's property. But suppose it was something of yours. Something like your best fishing rod, the one with the spinning reel. I guess you'd loan that to somebody.
I not only would, I did.
Oh, you did. And I guess you're not worried about getting it back.
Oh. Not at all, Brack. I'm sure you'll return it as soon as you're through.
What? Why, I don't... Yeah, I do have it. And what's this business Bill told me on the phone about you not wanting to call the police?
If the police had that man picked up, it would destroy everything. He seemed so happy because someone trusted him. His eyes twinkled and he smiled.
Oh, didn't he do a little jig? I would for a free car.
Now you're being sarcastic.
And why shouldn't I be? Cars cost money. And don't say it, Charlie. Don't you say you can't take it with you. You said that enough times.
Well, it's the truth. You can't take it with you.
Well, stop reminding me of it. Pressing thought.
Oh, now, Brad.
Well, I mean it. You sweat and slave all your life. You pile up a fortune. You do it honestly so you'll be sure to get to heaven. And then when you get there, you have to leave everything behind. It's unconscionable.
Well, you won't need money up there. Brack, while we're speaking of money, well, the welfare fund...
What, again? Charlie, I may not need money up there, but I'm still down here.
Brack, you always blow off steam, so go ahead and puff while I get the...
No, wait. I think I just got an idea.
Oh?
Yes. Look, Charlie, I'm willing to wait until 1 o'clock for him to come back here with Bill's car. But in the meantime, I'd like to make a little double or nothing wager. If he comes back, instead of the usual $250, I'll donate $500. If he doesn't come back, not a cent.
Well, Brack, Well, the money isn't for me. It's for the welfare fund. Besides, I don't make wagers.
Well, Charlie, I'm making this one myself. And you shouldn't worry, because you got faith.
Brack, sometimes you make me sore.
Well, then I'd better leave, because I certainly don't want to get into a scuffle with the former wrestling champ of Vassar.
It wasn't Vassar.
I'll see you later, Charlie.
Out here on the porch, Nan.
I just talked to Dad. Your father's given the man until 1 o'clock to come back, and then he's calling the police.
The police? Gee, I hope there's no shooting. I just had a new wax job.
You don't think of your wax job when a man's life is involved?
Gosh, Nan, don't get sore at me. After all, my car's gone.
It'll be back. You just don't respect my father's faith.
Well, some things are okay, but you can't go by all of that stuff. But like the Sunday he preached on, turn the other cheek. For 2 weeks, I tried it, and I almost got knocked goofy.
Oh, what's the use? Bill, if you're going to continue in such an ugly mood, you may leave.
Leave? I don't have anything to leave in. Oh, Nan, look, I'm not in a bad mood. It's just that, well, you're upset. Let me give you a little kiss.
How can you think of kissing at a time like this?
I think of it all the time. Come on, I'll just give you a little one.
Well.
Nancy.
We'll make it later.
Honey, I've got to write a sermon for tomorrow. Did you take my pen?
Oh, yes. It's on the dining room table. I'm sorry I didn't put it back.
Reverend Parker, did you say you're going to write a sermon?
Yes, Bill.
Does that mean you don't think the fellow's coming back?
Hmm? Well, no, Bill. It's just that I have to be prepared with a sermon for tomorrow.
Yeah, sure, but if you know he's coming back with my car and your sermon's in the car, why do you have to write a new one?
Well, Bill, you're perfectly right. I won't have to write a new sermon if we work on this thing together.
Work together? How do you mean, Reverend?
Well, you say a little prayer that your car gets back, and I'll say a little prayer that my sermon gets back.
Oh, no, Reverend. No, sir. That buggy means too much to me. I'll pray for your sermon, and you pray for my car.
Bill Brackett.
Oh?
Would you care to meet me down at the jail?
The jail?
That's right. Captain Norton just called me. They picked up your hobo friend and another one that was with him.
Another one?
Yes, Charlie. Two of them. Sorry we had to make them share one car, but I just couldn't spare mine.
I'm sure there's a reason for what happened.
Oh, I'm sure there's a reason, too. The captain says the fellow you loaned the car to, Eddie, has a record for car stealing.
I'll be right down, Brack.
All right. Right in here, boy.
Oh, here we are. Hey, Reverend, make them let us go.
Might we be unhanded, please?
Eddie, explain what happened.
Oh, for goodness sake, Charlie. Why don't you admit you were wrong and let the police...
Please, Brack, let's hear their story. Eddie, tell me the truth. Did you have any intention of stealing that car?
Well, I ain't sure, Rev. I don't know. It's kind of like old times, being behind a wheel again. Behind a wheel in a car that didn't belong to me.
In other words, you were planning to steal it.
No, I don't think so, mister. But see, I used to do so much of that in the past. You see, before I became a hobo, the only honest job I ever had was stealing cars.
Eddie, exactly what happened?
Inform them, Edward.
Yeah, all right, I'll tell them. It's, Reverend, you see, I was on my way downtown, and I see Jack here.
He's taking my constitutional.
He's taking a constitution, you see, and I'm being a big shot with a motor vehicle, so, I pick him up.
He sticks out his hand for the left turns, and I stick out mine for the right turns.
We feel real ritzy, you know. We even got a foxtail.
Yeah, up on the antenna.
On the antenna, and we're riding along.
Me and Eddie.
It's always me and Jack, you see.
Yeah, we're riding along.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, Jack here...
I'm Jack.
Jack here, he spots your assignment. It's on a seat between us.
So I picks it up.
Yeah, and the guy, he starts to read it.
Trust your fellow man. It's beautiful.
Yeah, then pretty soon, Reverend, I noticed that Jack here, that the guy, he's got tears in his eyes.
Just thinking of it makes me so happy I can cry again.
Courage, friend. Well, sir, the way I figure, anything that can make Jack cry, well, this I gotta see. So we stop the car, and I start reading it. And like I told you, Reverend, I read awful slow.
Edward is not very educational.
It's the truth.
Wonderful. You see, Captain Norton, Brack, you see, I was right all along. Eddie was to be trusted.
Well, after reading that sermon, I would trust my own brother. Nobody can trust him.
Well, Frank, I guess this settles that little one-man agreement you made.
You tricked me. You contrived this whole thing to get that $500 for the welfare fund.
Well, Captain, you're naturally going to let them go.
No, I don't know, Reverend. The law of this county provides that any person being without funds may be held as a vagrant.
Not just a
second. Caution, Edward. What? That merely means hobo.
Oh. Well, Reverend, speaking of money, I never did get to buy that stuff at the hardware store.
Just a minute, Eddie. Captain, doesn't that law also provide that any man possessing $5 cannot be held as a vagrant?
Yes, it does.
Eddie, have you got $5 on you?
Yeah, but I've been trying to tell you. I couldn't get that stuff.
Yeah, I know. You see, Captain, there it is. $5.
Now, just a minute.
Well, Captain?
You boys can leave whenever you're ready.
We was ready before we got here.
Gee, Reverend, thanks. And maybe someday we can do you a favor.
Indeed. Next time you're riding in a train, look us up.
We're usually underneath, you know.
Well, Brack?
Don't well Brack me, Charlie Parker. I think I was tricked. I don't think I'm obliged to make that donation.
Brack, let your heart be your guide.
You can't soften me. Technically, I'm in the right. I said if the car wasn't brought back, not a cent. It wasn't brought back. We had to come down here and get it.
Mr. Brackett. Do you really believe in sticking to technicalities?
I most certainly do, Captain.
All right, then. Mr. Brackett, you've got your car parked out front in the red zone. That'll be $7.50, please.
You... What is this? I've come down here for my son's car.
We're being technical. You remember?
Yeah. All right. All right. Oh. Say, I left the house in such a rush, I forgot my wallet. I'll pay the fine later, Captain. Now, Charlie,
I'm very sorry, Mr. Brackett, but rules are rules. I'm sorry, but I cannot trust you for the money.
Can't trust me? I'm Bill Brackett. You know who I am.
I don't believe in trusting people.
You...
Charlie, could you lend me $7.50 till we get back to my house?
Well, golly, I don't have it, Brack. I left without my wallet, too. Well, Brack, I'll see you later.
No, wait, Charlie. I can't be held in jail. William Brackett Sr. in jail.
Well, what can I do, Brack?
Well, you can convince the captain to trust me.
How?
Well, doggone it, you got a whole sermon on trust your fellow man, haven't you?
Oh, but you don't believe in that,
Brack. That doesn't matter. Just get him to believe it.
Wait a minute. Are you two in cahoots?
All right, Charlie Parker, I do believe in your sermon. Now let the captain read it and get me out of here.
Oh, I might trust you without reading any sermons, Mr. Brackett. Mm-hmm. Except I heard you say something about not donating to the welfare fund. Now, the way I figure it, any man who donates to the welfare fund is probably a pretty trustworthy fellow.
Well, that's very good thinking, Captain.
Now I know you're working together. All right, I'll donate. I was going to anyway.
Wonderful. The 500?
250.
Now, where's that cell key?
I said 500.
I check in the morning. You guys ought to be working for the Internal Revenue Bureau.
The Lord works in wondrous ways.
Yep. Of course, sometimes us people step in and give him a bit of help.
Yes. And let's hope he'll forgive a certain police captain for telling a fib about a certain car being parked in a red zone.
It's always fun